Join your host, Alistair Rayner, as he shares information on the latest research on livestock production, tips on how to boost your profitability, advice on how to secure the health of your herd, interviews with industry leaders, and moments of inspiration. Alistair will take you from the paddock to the research lab and give you ways to improve your operation. From moments on the farm, education, some delicious recipes, and a bit of fun. We hope you enjoy.
G'day, I'm Alistair Rayner. Welcome to my podcast, Rayner Records. This week, I'm going to introduce you to a cattle producer who, with his family, operates a large station in Central Australia. Before I introduce you, I need to give you an idea of where we're travelling to today and why I happen to be there. You see, in this episode, we're travelling into the Australian outback to a place called Maree. Maree is a little town crouched on the edge of the central desert country in the north of South Australia. It's the last town you'd pass through on your way to travel along the Birdsville Track into Queensland or further north along the Oodnadatta Track. The township of Maree is pretty important to the Australian cattle industry. It was the site of a major railhead where cattle being driven down from northern Australia and along the Birdsville Track could be loaded into trains and moved on down to Adelaide. It's a very iconic location with a long history for both the cattle industry and for early transportation with camels, as well as the construction of railways north across Australia. So I was really excited to be invited to travel to this part of Australia and meet some of the producers who live and work there. It's hard not to be amazed by the sense of space or the flatness of the country. There aren't pastures, as you might expect, and low shrubs and saltbush cover much of the country. The earth is a red soil, and it's hard to see where cattle might survive and thrive. I was there to share some ideas around buying better bulls. And for a day, I talked with producers who travelled a long way from places like Birdsville and Oodnadatta to be there. As much as I enjoyed sharing ideas on structural soundness and understanding EBVs, I think I learned as much as I shared. Having a chance to talk on bull selection is always something I like to do. Bulls are a big investment in any beef enterprise, no matter where in the country you might be operating. And there are a few things that I think are always important to consider with bulls and deciding what bulls to buy. Most importantly, you need to have a clear breeding objective. Your breeding objective is formed through a good understanding of your environment and the markets that you're looking to supply. It also requires you to have a good understanding of the capabilities of the cow herd you own and how a new bull would complement your herd. The influence your bulls have on a herd is pretty significant. In the first instance, he's responsible for the calves that you're looking to sell. The difficult thing is that you can't start to measure how successfully that bull has complemented your program for about 3 years, because it takes that long for those bulls' calves to be born, to be raised, and then to be sold into the market. So if you have to wait 3 years to measure success, then you want to make sure that initial purchase decision was the right one. The influence of a new bull extends for a long period of time. There's some great research around showing that 87% of the genetic makeup of a cow herd is due to the influence of the last three generations of bulls. So a poor decision is one that you might have to live with for quite some time. So choosing and buying a bull isn't just a financial decision. It takes some work to consider his physical suitability and his genetic potential. Now, we're pretty fortunate to have a system known as BreedPlan to help assess the physical potential of a bull. BreedPlan uses EBVs, or if you want the long version, estimated breeding values. And these are developed by recording many of the traits expressed by a bull and his relations. And these are traits that impact on growth, fertility, yield, and carcass quality. Now, I know a lot of people talk about EBVs, but I also reckon many people find them confusing or at times even a little overwhelming. So my trip to Maree was to share some practical ways to not only understand EBVs, but ways to use them to select the right bulls for the environment and for the markets targeted by those producers. Over the day, we had several bulls in yards, which we looked at and talked about and did some physical assessments on them. We also looked at the EBVs for each bull and discussed what programs those bulls might actually suit. For me, the best part of those sessions was to hear from everyone else about what they were looking for in bulls, what bulls actually suit the environments and the markets that are being targeted in that part of the world. And being in such a remote area, I've never really had a chance to actually hear firsthand from people about what they do out there, so I really wanted to learn as much as I could. Now, rather than me telling you what I heard, I reckon it's much easier to introduce Shane Oldfield from Clayton Station and to hear from him how production happens in the central areas of Australia.
Shane, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Born in Alice Springs, come down here when I was a baby and been here ever since, so been here in 55, 60 years.
So what's your country like where you are?
It's a desert environment. It's in the middle of three deserts, the Tararee, the Simpson and the Strelecki. And with a desert environment, it's sort of, you probably get six dry years out of the 10, four good years. So it's opportunity country. Like natural, probably after a good rain, you know, you wouldn't get better natural fattening country. But it's opportunity country because we don't get, you know, many good seasons, so you've got to take advantage of it when you can. Yeah.
So what sort of cows do you run up there?
We run, our nucleus is Hereford, being Polar Hereford for, you know, 40 from father's and grandfather's days, so 50-odd years. But we've put in, like, we've been playing around with different crosses over the years, but now we're sort of going Angus, mainly because, like, on one side, the property's sort of split in half. We just keep our nucleus with the Polar Hereford on one side, because I'm just a Hereford man through and through. But on the other side, I'm going black. But because we're having trouble with the Angus with the hot in the summers, or hot summers, so I'm putting a boss into them, just a touch of boss to try and improve their, you know, their drought resistance, their heating side, you know, with the boss, because the boss sweat, you know, like with the British breeds don't, and I think that might make them tougher in the summer months. So plus it'll make them, you know, a bit more leg, cleaner coat. Hopefully, you know, it's just trial and error.
How would you describe what you do to someone like me who comes from Tamworth? How different is it out here? Like, what, you know, you don't see cattle every day. How do you operate a place like this on the edge of three deserts?
The basics are all the same, though. Well, like, you know, cattle's cattle. Well, don't matter where they are in Australia, I think. But you just got to keep an eye on them. You know, you drive around when you check your waters and you check your cattle and you assess your country all in the same time, you know. The thing in this country, you've got to do a lot of kilometres, you know. But every time, instead of just driving around looking at the road, and you've got to be assessing everything. You've got to assess your country and say, oh, yeah, now I can run another 300 there for another 3 months, or that water, and go on, you do every water the same, and you assess your cattle, oh, yeah, they're doing good, or no, they're starting to slip, we're going to have to think about doing something with them, or basic common sense, really.
So the last couple of days we've been looking at selecting bulls and talking about what sort of cattle influences we might have in a breeding program. What do you do when you're looking to buy bulls, or are there things that you need to think about that are different out here to where someone further east or further south might do?
Yeah, we do. We need to look for that tougher, hardier bull that's going to stand the rigours of the country a bit better. You know, like we've found that buying bulls south of Adelaide, they just don't acclimatise. They don't adapt to our country as quick as the bulls north of Adelaide. Bulls that have been sort of fed up, you know, for sales and that, don't suit up here. You're better off buying them straight out of the paddock if you can. A lot of bull breeders don't like to do that because, you know, they like to put a bit of beef on them. But we find, you know, that comes up in and just melts off them, and, you know, and it takes them a long time to sort of acclimatise. But if you can buy them straight out of the paddock and they just sort of come in, and then if you can, you know, lock them up for a few months to acclimatise, they adapt a lot better and they hang on a lot better, you know, they'll last a lot better. So, yeah, normally, you know, I've just always bought bulls on site looking at them. But now they've got, you know, EBVs. Can work that in, you know, to see if it's got to go with new age.
I hope you enjoyed the opportunity to hear from someone producing cattle in a pretty challenging and really amazing environment. I know I enjoyed my chance to travel and work with Shane and many of the other families who came to the workshop. The workshop was also a great chance to share and discuss some of the new technologies and approaches to production that are now starting to enter Australian agriculture. There's a lot of interest in ways to capture data on animals remotely and use that information to make decisions in real time. As you heard from Shane, it's a pretty vast area, and they don't get to see their cattle as often as we do in the more intensive areas closer to the coast. If cattle can be monitored remotely using technologies that could range from walkover, weighing systems, to even GPS tracking, producers in the more extensive regions could make decisions that would save time and money on things like where to send musterers to, the timing of mustering or marketing, in fact, as well as managing the feed reserves that they have in a much more efficient and effective way. I was really blown away by the excitement and interest there was around those ideas. I reckon it's a big opportunity for agriculture generally, and I reckon some of those extensive producers will be the ones that will drive the adoption of this new technology into the years to come. If you've never been to Maree or Birdsville and you're interested to know what it looked like, hop onto the Rayner Ag Facebook page. I've put a few pictures up there taken over the days, and you can get to see Shane and some of the other people who I've talked about and who blew me away with their enthusiasm and their passion. And if you are having a look at the pictures, don't forget to like the Rayner Ag Facebook page while you're there. Now, if you ever want me to come along and deliver some training or your own workshops on bull selections, it's pretty obvious I'm really happy to travel. You can always get in touch with me through my website, all the W's at RaynerAg.com. .com.au. You can like Rayner Ag on Facebook, or you can always send me a tweet on Twitter at AlRayner302. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.